Welcome to Healing and Revelation, a weekly program hosted by healing evangelists Dr. Bill and Barbara Dewar of Revelation Wisdom Ministries.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
It's great to be able to cry out to Jesus in times of trouble, but it's also great to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus by talking with Him, by praying to Him, and fellowship with other believers. This would enable you to expand your capability, to be able to pray for success, for protection, for provision, and any other thing that's a problem in your life that Jesus has already provided to you by His death on the cross. Today we're going to zoom in and discuss other aspects of prayer and show how they can provide protection and spiritual warfare. So let's start here with the continuation of last week, the verses that my wife used in her healing testimony.
The healing structures that I used, first I turned my face to the wall and I prayed. And then I said aloud, Deuteronomy 28 says that all sickness and disease are a curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And 1 Peter 2:24 says that by His stripes I have been healed. Thank you, Jesus. I conceived healing in my imagination, and in my heart I saw myself healed. And those are the three verses that I put on the 3x5 cards.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope that's beneficial to all the people in the audience, because that way you don't have to go searching for those things. So now I'm going to change topics a little bit. I'm going to go as hindrances. In other words, hindrances to healing, the things that prevent us from getting healings. So just to begin, we have to understand that if we have sin in our life, you know, the kind of sin that's morally wrong, that's ethically wrong, which amounts to disobedience to God, God's probably not going to heal us, especially right away. If disobedience is there, God is sovereign. God can heal people like that, and God has, and we've seen that. But the point is that if there is continual, habitual sin and defiance or rebellion against God, you're probably going to have a hard time getting healed. So disobedience is one big number one factor. Now, we don't typically see that with a lot of church-going people. The number one issue that we see is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is where you were offended by someone else, ultimately, if that offense goes on for abnormal amount of time, it results in a root of bitterness, which then makes it very difficult for people to get healed. That's like taking poison yourself and hoping that it hurts the other person. You need to forgive other people as soon as you are offended and let it go so that it doesn't become a root of bitterness in your life. Now, I know, talking to many of you, that that's not easy. It's very easy to become offended when you've done what you think everything is done correctly, but you know, you still wind up getting negative comments from other people who really don't understand what you're doing or why you're doing it. The bottom line is that, like it says in the Our Father, you must forgive others so that your sin can be forgiven. Where we have things like fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear can, as we all know, generate different responses in people, such as panic attacks or the ability to or inability to actually think very clearly. So fear is not something that you want to try to dwell on. You want to really focus on your most precious faith and to ideally improve that faith and keep it strong about you all the time. You know, when you walk by faith and not by sight, you're able to be tuned into the Spirit in a much more fulfilling way, and you'll be able to keep your faith tuned up for the healing process and your entire prayer life. So obviously you want to avoid fear. Another aspect that's popular, and it's really an issue in a lot of people, is this issue about doubt and unbelief. So obviously, unbelief is the opposite of faith, but it's not the same thing. It basically, what happened in the apostles' situation is they had faith. They had the faith of a mustard seed, but they let the conditions of the world dictate some unbelief, which negated their faith. And so it basically says in James 1, if you have doubt, then don't expect to get what you're praying for, because it's like wavering. It's like the waves of the ocean going to and fro. You need to be focused on faith and block out the unbelief, because the world, the people we deal with around us, are scorners. They are mockers, and they will come in and basically do all they can to ensure that your faith is going to be challenged and tested, and you have to stay focused on the faith side of things. That's why my wife does those little cards and puts them, you know, in the mirrors and puts them on my forehead or whatever. So anyway, it's really an important concept to get across. Now let me switch to another topic, which is ungodly spirits. We have prayed for people who, when we prayed for them, they went on the ground and they were wiggling like snakes. And in that process, we've had various things happen. We've had people get rid of demonic activity. We've had people get rid of all sorts of ungodly spirits. But the reality is that we don't know how many we really have in there. But if you have ungodly spirits, you've got to bind them and cast them off. Now, another key thing that's going on in today's world is the spirit of pharmacia. The quantity of prescription drugs has become a huge problem with addiction and other activities. So the reality is all those things can block your healing, and you have to try to control them the best you can. Our topic this week, prayer. Prayer is one of the obvious things you have to do very correctly in any area of healing. And more importantly, though, if you go throughout all the other things that you deal with in life, you want to know how you can have very effective prayer. This is a huge topic, but we want to focus in on a couple of things. There are hundreds of verses in the Bible that focus on prayer. You look up faith, you'll see another 100 so verses. You also see 100 and some verses on love. So all those are involved in prayer, and we just want to bring out some of the highlights for you. So let me start off with basically something simple here from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God." So that's a good start. We have to communicate with God on so many different levels. Prayer is just a basic fundamental language. So since we're in sort of like overview mode, this is a passage from Mark 11:22, which is it's from Jesus, what Jesus said. And the first thing he says is, have faith in God. So this passage is something that you probably want to meditate on. If you can do any homework or you're driving along, basically look up Mark 11:22. And Jesus says, "For surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So very critical phases there. The next passage we'll talk about more when we get into healing, another very critical foundational passage. So what I want to try to dig into a little bit is a definition of faith. And so I'm going to read from the Amplified again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. "And so faith, hope, and love abide in us. Faith is conviction and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope is joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, a true affection for God and man growing out of God's love for us and in us." So we have faith, hope, and love abide in us, but the greatest of these is love.
Cause
next few topics to help make you an overcomer. By now, you know that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. And the revelation that we have today is that prayer is critical to obtain all the things that God has for you. All the things that Almighty God has in store for you also, I might add, because we haven't talked much about the Holy Spirit yet, but the Holy Spirit is a critical part of your relationship with Almighty God. So here goes.
Good afternoon, loved ones. It's Barbara Dewar. We're going to talk about praying in the name of Jesus today. Holding a Bible or wearing a cross will not scare the devil off. It is the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb and faith in Jesus that causes demons to flee. Satan is not afraid of the Word. Satan used the Word and twisted it when he tempted Jesus. Satan flees from the blood of Jesus because it reminds Satan of his defeat. The name of Jesus is referred to in Philippians 2, verse 9. Let's go there and see what it says. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. 1 John 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. John 14, 13. And of course, John 16, 23. All prayers to God the Father are done through the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Bind every evil spirit in Jesus' name and command every principality to turn your loved one loose. My sheep hear my voice. So what is prayer? It is learned and it can be taught. If Jesus needed to pray, shouldn't we? Through prayer and praise, you will not be defeated. As powerful as God is, he cannot answer your prayer until you pray. And pray in the name of Jesus. Talk to God about who he is. Come into his presence and fellowship with him. Talk to God about what he has done and every blessing that he has given to you. Start to praise him for what he is going to do for you through the blood of Jesus. Ask and it shall be given to you. Matthew 7, 7. For everyone who asks receives. Pray in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have the fruit of the Spirit. God is on my side. I do not live in fear. I do not complain. My spouse and children are saved. I am a blessing everywhere I go. I am a nice, sweet, kind, patient person in Jesus' name. Believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and pray, and all hell will start to tremble. Thank you, Jesus. I love you so.
Hi, this is Bill Dewar. Today I want to give you another perspective from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, first of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. So in our prayer life, we also want to do the same thing. Praying for others is a critical part in the things that we do in our relationship with God. He goes on to say, for those in positions of authority of high responsibility, we want to pray for them so that we can have a quiet and undisturbed life and a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. And last week we spoke about being serious with our words so that God knew that he could trust what we were asking for. So in 1 Timothy, he goes on to saying, such praying is good and right and is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So that's the end of 1 Timothy. Now I want to go back and look at the types of prayer he has here. One of the key things is petitions. So those are the things that we are asking for, and we want to ask for those humbly. We want to pray humbly as much as we can here to try to ensure God that we're being serious about our needs. Another big category is intercessions. Intercession is incredibly important in a church environment or even a family environment if there's some problems. Intercessory prayer is, again, typically in small groups where The Bible says where two or more are gathered together in his name, he is with us. So that prayer where you've had people praying for other people, we have seen that to be incredibly powerful in many aspects of life. The other key issue here is thanksgiving. So many different types of thanksgiving. Obviously, praise and worship are defined inside of Psalms as where God is enthroned on our praise and worship. I also want to point out that after we pray the first time for something, we should not repeat that prayer. We should not pray in vain repetition, but we should switch over to a prayer of thanksgiving so that God knows that we believe that he has heard us and he is answering our prayer. And now, basically what we'll be doing is taking the aspects of prayer, faith, hope, and love into a finer point so that next week we'll focus on the prayers where we are talking about those prayers that we use in healings. Thank you.
Hi, it's Barbara Dewar. Today we'll talk about the precious blood of Jesus. Our brothers won victory over Satan by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony, Revelation 12:11. Power of the blood. It's protection and covenant. Hebrews 9 and 10 reviews this with you. Jesus washed us with his blood. Revelation 1:5. When Jesus is in your heart, God sees you through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10 verse 19. And you can enter boldly into the presence of God as his children. 1 Peter 1:19. The blood of Jesus. This is my faith in the blood of Jesus. I have been healed. By his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24. I am blessed and not cursed because of the crown of thorns. I have abundance and I've been delivered from lack because of the blood coming from his hands. I have dominion and my authority has been restored because of the blood coming from his feet and how he was marred and scarred. And when his side was pierced, water and blood flowed from the blood of Jesus and just washed me clean. Satan can never cross the bloodline. The blood of Jesus protects you from Satan, gives you peace, and removes all guilt. Ephesians 2, verse 11. When the Lord goes through Egypt to kill the Egyptians, in Exodus 12, verse 23, he will see the blood on the beams and doorposts and will not let the angel of death enter your houses and kill you. So how do we plead the blood of Jesus? In Exodus 12, verses 1 to 14, the Israelites were told to apply the blood of an unblemished lamb over their doorposts. The blood was a sign. The angel of death will pass over you, and no plagues, judgment, or wrath will come on you. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals were used to cover sin, Leviticus 1-5. In the New Testament, Jesus' blood and death at Calvary completely blotted out sin, Hebrews 9. The blood of Jesus redeemed, saved, and delivered us, 1 Peter 1:18, from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. We have been delivered from Satan and all of his works. We are free because Jesus laid down his life for us, John 8:36. We are partakers in the exchange. By covering ourselves with the blood of Jesus, we can go boldly to the throne of God. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence, Ephesians 3:12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And God, seeing us through the blood of Jesus, forgives us of our wickedness, and God no longer remembers our sin. We apply the blood of Jesus over our body, soul, and spirit doorpost, and to every area of our life as we progress to the promised land. Please start covering yourself, your loved ones, everything you own, every place you go, and everything you do and say with the blood of Jesus, and you will notice significant changes in every area of your life. Thank you, Jesus.
Hi, this is Bill Dewar. I'm going to summarize the week a little bit. We covered a lot of topics. Just like you look at icebergs, we only saw a few percent of the top of the iceberg. And I encourage you to go off and study Mark 11:22 and many other topics. Whatever topic grabs you, I'd go off and study that. Today, we're going to talk about several different things, all of them very important. I mean, to us, the prayer is the essence of spiritual warfare. And there are many different positive things you get from prayer. And I'm going to let my wife describe one now.
Hi, it's Barbara Dewar. Our prayers are a sweet smell to God. In Acts 10, verse 4, Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." God uses us to make the knowledge about Jesus spread everywhere like a sweet fragrance. For we are like sweet-smelling incense offered by Jesus to God, which spreads among those who are being saved and those who are being lost. For those who are being lost, it is a deadly stench that kills. But for those who are being saved, it is a fragrance that brings life. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Your life must be controlled by love, just as Christ loved us and gave his life for us, as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice that pleases God. Ephesians 5, 2. Bill?
Thank you. That's always fascinating to me. We've been in prayer sessions and we smell flowers like that all the time. It's really exciting to experience that. Well, I want to cover a couple of basic things that I didn't cover before, and that is people ask about faith all the time. And so in Romans 10, 17, just as a reminder to most of you, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Another key message comes out of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, walk by faith and not by sight. Now, one of the things that we really have a lot of enthusiasm around is Psalm 91, because we use it as our protector. And let me just read a couple of things about it. You are my God, in you I trust. I'm kept safe from all dangers and deadly diseases. I'm covered with his wings in the secret place. No fear, no disasters can strike you, no violence to come near your home. Angels are sent to guard you. You will trample down lions and snakes. God will save those who love him and know him as Lord. God will reward you with long life. So regarding Psalm 91, we should say aloud, my faith for every victory in my life is released through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, next week we'll talk about fasting and prayer. We'll talk about how that pertains to faith, how we can increase our faith, how we can get to the point where we can do faith healing, and many other aspects that are tied to healings.
I'd also like to point out that you can get a replay of this message on our website. That's rwmin.org. And you go to page 5 or archives, and you can re-listen to this message again in case you missed some of the chapters and verses that you want to take a look at. Please remember that prayer changes things, and I hope you and your family have a great weekend. And I hope you're able to come back next week and continue with us. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to our show, hosted by Dr. Bill and Barbara Dewar. Contact them at Revelation Wisdom Ministries at Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541, or by email rwmi5555@gmail.com. And please consider supporting this program by contributing on our website, rwmin.org, or sending your tax-deductible donation to Post Office Box 218, McHenry, Maryland, 21541.